Now, on Wednesday, Boston College basketball landed their two new players, one in the transfer portal, one freshman, but there's still one more roster spot to go. What does Earl Grant need to prioritize with this spot? And what are some reasonable options for BC to go after? We'll get into that on today's show.
You are Locked On Boston College, your daily podcast on the Boston College Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome. This is Locked On BC. Today's show is brought to you by FanDuel, official sports book of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/Locked On today to get started. We've been talking football for about a week now. I want to switch it back to basketball. On Wednesday, the Eagles added their two new players that they have signed since the end of the winter playing period. Now, one is a transfer. MJ Harris Jr., or I think he just goes by MJ Harris. We've talked about him as Claudell Harris for a long time, but when they had the press release, he goes by MJ. I mean, there's worse things to go by, right? Like Michael Jordan, MJ, love that, right? And Elijah Strong, the forward from North Carolina, both have signed. They're both in. They're not going anywhere. That's two spots that you have now locked up. Now, that's good. You get a guard, you get a forward. I think BC's in pretty good shape at center. You have Imani Mighty, you have Jaden Hastings and Quinton Post. And you can even put Devin McLaughlin out there. He's a good stretch. But now you have one more spot left. And I'm not a fan of wasting a roster spot. I don't want this. I mean, no offense to the walk-ons. I don't want this to be like a reward, a walk-on that's never going to play, and you're just going to basically give, you know, it's going to turn into a scholarship for a guy that's never going to play. BC needs to find a guy because, as we saw last year between DeMar Langford, Prince Oligbe, Quinton Post, injuries happen. Injuries are going to happen again next year, and you need guys on your bench. And I give credit to BC. For an end-of-the-bench guy, I thought CJ Penna was fine last year. When you asked him to do more than what his skill set basically dictated, he struggled. But he was never meant to be more than like the 11th or 12th guy on that roster. And I think he was fine for that. So when I look at what BC needs, it's almost that CJ Penna role. It's that forward. You need another wing. You don't need I really don't think they need a big. And I think they're flooded with guards at this point. I mean, they just added MJ Harris to go along with Fred Payne. They have Donald Hand and Chaz Kelly and Jaden Zachary and Mason Madsen. You've got like six guards. I think you're okay there. When I'm looking at what BC needs, it's a wing. It's kind of what Penna was last year. You need to get a guy at the end of your roster that can play the four, that can play the three. And I think that's where they're going to need to attack. Now, I've said on this podcast, if you go back and listen to some of them, that I have not heard BC linked to any new transfers. I haven't, you know, you see like the Andrew Slaters and the Deshaun Londons of 247s. They put up, you know, those lists of who BC's been linked to, and you haven't seen many lately. Now, I did see Andrew Taylor out of Marshall, but he's a guard. I saw another guard, and I'm blanking on what team he was on, but it was another guard. I think it was a taller. It was more of like a DeMar Langford-sized guard, like 6'6", bigger guy. But I haven't seen BC linked to much. But I wouldn't read that much into this. Last year, when BC landed CJ Penna, it was completely under the radar. We didn't hear anything about that because he was a D2, D2 or D3, right? At whatever college he was playing at. It completely went under the radar. So for this, I almost half expect that's going to happen again. You're not going to be able to attract a power five legitimate forward or any positional player that has solid talent to come be the end of the bench, because that's all BC is going to be able to offer at this point. You know what your starting lineup's going to be, and you're basically locked in with your backups. You just need a guy that just is looking for a program that can maybe do some things for you. And so I imagine my thought is BC is going to get a lower level player. Now they already got Charleston Southern for MJ Harris. I'm thinking even lower than that, kind of what they did with Penna. Will they go and find a guy that plays that position, the exact same position? They may. But remember, BC also ate this scholarship last year. I don't know why they didn't fill it, but I believe they only had 11 scholarship players last year. So there's a possibility that they don't do anything either. But I think they will. I think BC will try to get some more guys that are, you know, warm bodies. I don't expect anything magical to come out of the portal. You know, when you see those big names that are coming up, I saw folks hoping for like what, Jordan Geronimo, and linking guys back to BC through their through their recruiting and things like that. Guys that, you know, even local that were connected to BC, I don't see them being guys that BC, you know, players that BC is going to go after for that last roster spot. I just don't see it as where the dominoes kind of fall here. I think you're going to wait. You're going to hear a name that comes through that no one knows, that you're going to dive at your computer and go Google this guy's name. And it's going to be someone completely different than who you expect, or, you know, you're gonna have to figure it out on the fly. But my hope is whoever this is, it could be a guy that we don't know, but I hope it's just someone that isn't expected to do a lot. It's just another name that maybe, you know, when you play a Central Connecticut next year, hopefully you're playing at a higher level. They can play parts of the second half. Or if there's a game where BC is up big or even down big, they get to get into those games. And if there's an injury, maybe they're the backup. That's the kind of role this player is going to need to do. And so I'm interested to see how they address this. It's been quiet. It's been a quiet couple days, but I'm really glad to see that Harris is in and that Strong is in. They're signed, sealed, and delivered. And now it's on to finishing this roster and moving on to the class of 2024. And if you want more updates on basketball recruiting, check out my work at Eagle Insider. And when we get new updates, we will put it up there. We also have some great national guys over there that get all the scoops. They talk about everything, and it's all up for our VIP members. So you can check that out. Now, in our second segment, I am going to go to your Q&As. You guys asked some questions. I'm going to give you some answers, and I want to get into those all in the second segment. We'll get to that in just a moment. Now, are you looking for a delicious snack, but don't want all the sugar and calories? Then you need the best tasting protein bar ever, Built. You gotta try these. Like if you're like me and you want to make healthier snack choices, but you don't want to compromise on taste, I'm telling you these Built bars and the Built puffs are amazing. I had again cookie dough. I will sing the praise of the cookie dough puff every day as long as I'm allowed to, because it is literally after work my treat of choice. I put one in my bag and I am driving home and I'm like waiting to that point where I'm like, okay, I get that Built bar. And then I get to, you know, I think it's on the Pike. There's a toll booth or a toll reader. And when I hit that toll reader, I like dive to my bag to get it. And what I love about them is the chunks of chocolate cookie dough. And it is such a treat. And every Built bar, even if they don't have the cookie dough puff, they're so good. The coconut, the brownie batter, whatever you can find. And they come up with some great recipes. You can have it all on Built. And the best part is it's only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. Part I love about this is I need a snack. I want to go for a run after work. This gives me the snack and I don't feel like garbage afterwards. I feel good and I'm getting the energy I need to get through my workouts. That's what makes Built awesome. So that's right. Head to your local Walmart today or Sam's Club and you can get your boxes of Built there, or head over to Built.com and see what the latest is. And if you go over to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, you're going to save 15% off. Folks, get over to Built now. This is Locked On BC. I am your host, AJ Black. And we are talking your questions. And I threw it out on social media to ask questions today. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, we're doing this live. You can ask questions today too. Go into the comment section, throw them in. I will do my best to answer them. The first question is from a podcast that I guest on every year, and I've already signed up for July. It's way ahead, right? And it's All ACC Sports podcast. And they asked me, what are the two most critical BC football games this year that will play a big role in determining the season's outcome? I'm going to say right now, I'm going to take the out-of-conference games and throw them out the window. Because if they lose those games, none of these other games matter. It's going to be a disaster. The two big games for me for BC this year that really, I think, will set the tone of what the season will be, whether it's going to be a failure or whether it will be a success. I have to say, when I'm looking at it, it has to be the Louisville game, I think, is going to be a big one. But I really want to, I'm going to go with Louisville, because if Louisville is good, then this game could be tough for BC. But if you talk to Mitch Wolf, Mitch is not buying on this team. There's a chance if BC wins that game, you look at that should be the toughest game that they play that's not Florida State in that first half of the season. They could easily win. I mean, thinking things are going well, folks, I'm not going to get into they're going to lose to Holy Cross. I know that you guys are out there. But they could go and win 5 out of 6 there with UVA, Army, if they can beat Louisville, Holy Cross, and NIU. The second big game for me I want to see is Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, to me, it's at home. They beat BC beat them at home last time. This is one of those games where I don't have the faith that Virginia Tech is all that good. But it's at home. It's going to be a Saturday game. I think BC, this would be a nice win, and it would set up a nice solid end of the season for them. So I'm going to go with Virginia Tech, and I'm going to go with Louisville. Those are my two critical games this year. Two games that I think are coin flips in my mind, but could go either way, and I appreciate that. Now, I get the man up there, the question of the day that everyone keeps asking me. Whenever I ask you folks, what is a mailbag question? I get this every single week. And I think I've answered it before. Usually I just ignore it, but I'm going to answer it this time. And Chris Garanda asked me, what's the record that will save Jeff Hafley's job? Everyone wants to know that. And I am steadfast in my answer that 7-5 is going to be the answer for this. I think that they need to, with 4 out of conference games, that with a team that doesn't have a glaring flaw yet, we will have to wait to see what that looks like. If they can win those really bad out of conference games, they get 4 wins right there. You get to pull out 3 wins against 8 teams, one of which is good. The rest are kind of a grab bag of bad teams. And Pitt's decent too, but it's got Jakovic. You have to be able to win 3 of those games, 3 out of 8. So 7 wins for me is what saves Jeff Hafley's job. That is the answer to that question. And then I had one more question for you. I lost it. Anywho, well, those are our two questions for the day. If you have any questions, you can throw them in the comment section. Now I'm going to go open that up. Bruce McLaren says, I think we need to have a shooting guard who can shoot threes. We have Post on the outside. We need another threat on the outside. I think they have that. I think that's going to be DJ Hand, but he's going to be healthy. I think that's going to be a big one. And then Marty Party says, why not have the best 5th year available, thus still having the ship for next year too? Well, get the best 5th year available. It's not that they can't. I just don't think the players that BC basketball is interested in for 5th years are going to be interested in coming here. Like, you have to be able to sell them things, right? You can't just sell them like, we're going to win. They're going to want to play. And if you've already got most of the spots kind of slotted out, they're not going to come if there's nowhere for them to play. I just don't see it happening. So that's my thoughts on those. And then people have been asking me as well about the quarterback situation, about Emmett Moorhead versus Tommy Gastellanos. I'm interested to see what this is going to look like this summer. You finally get two quarterbacks that could stake a claim for that starting role, right? Castellanos is not coming here just to be the backup. He's not coming here to learn and develop and then maybe play in a year or two. I'm sure he's coming here to play. He wants to earn that role. So I'm assuming he's going to get a chance to do that. And that's going to be an interesting piece right there. I don't think Jacoby Robinson, I saw some folks asking me if he's going to get a chance. I mean, folks, I know he had that nice run in the spring game, but even the coaching staff were like, he's raw. You know what I mean? Like, he's raw, like very, very raw. He's 17 years old. So I don't think Robinson will play a role in that. But it's still Emmett Moorhead's job to lose. And we'll have to wait to see what that is going to look like. Okay. Now, in our final segment of the week, we're going to look at baseball and lacrosse. We've got some lacrosse news. We'll look at this weekend and then get into everything that you need to know about BC baseball as they head into a big weekend series coming up. This is Locked On BC. AJ Black here. I got ripped by someone who says I don't talk about lacrosse enough. Well, I got to say, I talk about lacrosse when it comes up. I'm not breaking down lacrosse games because I'm not a lacrosse person. I talk about them when they're winning. I talk about some of the big moments that they have. I brought up that they beat Syracuse, the number one team in the country. I brought up that they won the ACC tournament and talked about it. Had a whole segment for it. This weekend starts the women's lacrosse tournament. And BC has a first round bye. They're the number three spot in their regional, but they're going to host. That means they get to have their home game next, right? And they're going to play the winner of Penn in UConn on Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock start. You can find it on ESPN Plus. So if you have ESPN Plus, you can watch it. If you're like me and don't have ESPN Plus yet, you can't watch it, but that's okay. We'll find out. Now we'll be able to follow along online. So that's going to be their first big game. And they're the best team. I don't dive into like football and basketball and like get into the nitty gritty. I was a little shocked that they weren't the two seed. The number two seed went to Syracuse, the team BC beat on their way to the ACC tournament. I figured, you know, beating them would get them that spot, but Syracuse has not been as good of late. So that was a bit of a surprise as well. But the other piece of lacrosse news is Jen Majid, their star midfielder, was one of the five finalists for the Tewartin Award. Now, we've seen BC players win this before. Sam Apuzzo won it. Charlotte North has won it. Will she be the third? She is very high up on the list, I'm sure, of potential winners. But again, it just shows what kind of program Keisha Walker-Weinstein has put together at Boston College, where they're having consistent, great players come through. And then you're also getting NIL deals for these girls too, right? I just saw Bell Smith put up that she got a car from McGovern. So they're getting that NIL love too. So that's good. But hopefully we'll talk a little bit more about the game on Sunday if BC wins that one. Then there is BC baseball this weekend. BC baseball, who did not have any midweek games. I think it was finals week. I'm not a student there, but I think they're around finals time. But this weekend, they have a two-game series against Villanova on Saturday and Sunday. They have a 6 o'clock start at both games at home against Villanova. Again, you got to start winning because right now, when you look at D1 America's projections, BC is like right on the teetering of hosting. That was the other question. Does BC have, I don't know where it went. Can BC baseball, sorry, I just had like an aha moment. Can BC baseball have enough, do they have enough seating to host NCAA tournament games? They do. They absolutely do. I talked to someone at BC and they were like, yeah, when they did that. I know there's like this rumor that like the Brighton residents hammered it down. That's not true. From what I heard, BC can host. But BC and UConn are kind of going back and forth with who has the higher enough rank to host. So BC needs to start winning. And they get three in a row, Villanova and Maine, before they end the season next weekend. All these are home. It's a nice end of the year home stretch for them. Hopefully guys are getting healthy. I know Cam Leary is hurt and Travis Honeyman is hurt as well. Got to get these guys healthy for that ACC tournament and hopefully NCAA tournament. So those are also some big news for BC and kind of where BC Medjid. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. I don't watch BC lacrosse. I apologize. I don't have enough time to watch every single sport BC does. I just don't. And this weekend should be some fun games though, with between lacrosse and between baseball. Okay. So thank you all for following along. We'll be back on Monday. We'll talk about anything going on with recruiting. We'll talk about everything going on with baseball and lacrosse. We're gonna have a busy week. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Oh, and also Zay Flowers knows his first game. The Baltimore Ravens are with that whole NFL schedule release. The Ravens are going to have their first game against the Houston Texans at home. That'll be Zay's first game. We'll be tracking that along, I'm sure, during the season as well. You can follow me on Twitter at AJBlack247. Again, new handle. Make sure you follow me there. And hit that subscribe button on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. And to all you everydayers out there that have made Locked On BC part of your daily routine, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. It's going to be beautiful weather up here in Massachusetts. Hopefully it is where you guys are at. We'll see you again soon.